Stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. Are we all nice and relaxed this week? I hope so. Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we are going to break down the punch to the gut that was the loss to the Lions, and later on, we'll be joined by Matt Bowen to break down the upcoming showdown with the Bears. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Mike Neal,
who played a whale of a game no matter what PFF tells you.
Julius Peppers.
It's a strip sack. Fumble!
Devon House.
With the big-time interception.
And we got the bad. We got Aaron Rodgers.
It ain't all his fault, but he was not good.
Eddie Lacy.
Bad play to start, bad play to end, not a lot of great stuff in the middle.
Jarrett Boykin.
Catch the ball, son.
And we got the ugly. We got the Packers offense.
Yeah, just about covers it. I love how Corey just totally ignored.
I got too many things to do here, Nagler. Okay, some of us can sit here and read a script, but some of us
about a thing. Every little thing.
I can't handle that.
Gotta be all right. Relax, Corey.
You have the rights to that.
Relax. QB1 told us. He spelled it out, dude.
Dude,
no
I got
worries.
I got something for that.
Oh. Going off script already.
No,
I
we'll
love
get
it.
There. We'll get there, Nagler. We will get there, buddy. So we got these player cups here, people.
Get player on it, people.
Cups.
Much like last week, we've got player another cups. Set for you. Another set to give away. Now, here are the rules in case you missed it. I want you to tweet out, watch Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer right now, hashtag Packers. Or same essential thing on Facebook. Make sure you hit up Cheesehead TV's page, Stomach's Brewery's page. Tweet it out, Facebook it, and if you're extra
the bonus round.
Special,
we didn't have anybody do the bonus round.
No bonus round last week. Hopefully someone learned their lesson. It is all set tonight. If you give us photographic evidence of yourself with a Stomach Brewery product.
This would be a Stomach product.
Preferably a beverage. Possibly a shirt like Corey's wearing. Salut. If you do so, send it to us via Twitter, via email, via whatever. And don't Photoshop it because we will know. You will be entered five times. To win this set of collectible player cups.
People couldn't see him, so I had to pull that. So there you go.
Pull it, dude.
The
pull
entire
it.
Set.
This whole set right here. These here cups, I'm telling you
and
right
we're
now.
We're only giving these away live, people. So it's only for the people that are live right now.
Yeah. If you're listening on the podcast, just fast forward.
Yeah, too late for you.
Or actually, you know what? Just relax. Just relax. Because that's what QB1 told us to do. Woo! All right. You ready, Corey?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go. We get ready for some hardcore news. All 52, because Andy Mulumba's spot has not been taken. All 52 players on these here Green Bay Packers practiced on Wednesday. When is the last time that they had an all-hands-on-deck practice? I mean, I think you could go back a couple years for that kind of occasion.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's good to see. Good to see. However, that being said, Clay Matthews was limited with his groin injury that he suffered there in Detroit. You saw him go out late in the game. That's a little worrisome there, Mr. Banky.
Yeah, it is.
A little worrisome when you're going to face a high-octane offense like the Chicago Bears.
Please don't say high-octane.
High-octane offense.
That is not a high-octane. I cannot. Yes, how did the Jets lose, first of all? I still am kind of dumbfounded. I'm sitting there going, Jets, man. Please, how are you losing this game right now?
They couldn't punch it in the end zone one of 500 times.
They made Cutler look so good.
They really did. Well, to be fair, I mean, Rex started out by playing zone. He was getting eaten alive, and then he was like, all right, I'm sitting in the house. And he got him a couple times, but eventually those receivers are going to win against that horrific secondary.
Yeah.
So I just, it's more on like, you know, that Jets offense for not being able to get in the end zone. They just do it one time. Although, let's be honest, it's actually on Jerome Boger for not calling, like letting that play go, which would have been a Jets touchdown. I swear that guy's got photos of somebody. But anyway, we digress. We're talking about the Bears game. Let's get off all of that. I mean,
you are national media. Now,
I am national media, which is kind of scary for all involved.
Really scary.
Really scary.
It scares me more.
But
than
let's talk about scary. Speaking of scary,
oh, here we go.
Corey's been reading again, and it's always scary when Corey reads.
Everybody,
especially when Corey starts reading Packers.com.
We still don't have a name for this, but
in the script, it literally just says Vic bashing.
So we've got a nice little graphic here. But it's nice if I actually put something in behind it and put it on loop.
Give it to the people. Give it to the people,
them,
Corey.
Let them eat cake. So here's the first from Mr. Vic Ketchman.
Oh, no.
This scheme stuff has to stop. We are just out of our minds with scheme. Scheme is big everywhere nowadays because of Madden, but I've never seen it as big in other places
because
as it is with this fan
Madden.
Base. It's a mania. Okay. I think Vic Ketchman could be like Jack Handy. Like you could read his things. We could do a whole like we could just do Vic
that's
Ketchman
really,
like Vic.
That's a really
like,
good idea.
Like so, you know, that's an annoying. That's an annoying response
because nowadays because of Madden.
Because of Madden.
But I love this. I've never seen it as big in other places as it is with this fan base. Guess who you write for, Vic Ketchman? This fan base. You flipping idiot.
Yeah, I did call him a moron on Twitter with that
God.
One.
Oh, my God. And you know what's funny is that he's absolutely right. It isn't as big with other fan bases.
Yeah.
Tom Pelissero, friend of show, when he left the Packers beat and went to cover the Vikings, when he came back on this program and said, it's a real different dynamic.
Of course.
In Green Bay, everyone wants to know, like, he's inundated with questions about who's the fifth corner. Or who's the, like the third safety in Minnesota? They're like the Vikings beat. He said, "I got like, is Adrian Peterson going to run for 100 yards? Like that? Like that was it? Like that was the level of questioning." And I'm not saying we're better, but we are. But we're hardcore. We are die hard. Ketchman, that's your audience, buddy.
Ugh. Yeah,
stop me before
it was going to be my rant, but you know, it can be Nagler's rant.
Nagler took it over. I'm
so
sorry.
This
I'm
is a good one. No, I appreciate it because you know, there's some for every 20 fans that encourage me on Twitter. There's one or two that are like, I love Vic Ketchman.
Yeah, well,
yeah, you're 80, bro.
I hope you block those people.
I've covered so many teams and have been with so many assistant coaches that I know assistant coaches on every team in the league, and I think that qualifies me as someone who knows who the good assistants are. I mean, I didn't write this. A Packer writer wrote this. And then this one's a good one, and I didn't put this in big font for everybody, so I'm sorry, but it says, you must be overworked. I've been reading your column since you came to Green Bay, and yesterday was the first time I've seen typos and grammar errors. Kudos to you for your excellent work thus far, but perhaps it is time to change your writing scheme? No, I like my scheme. Yesterday I wrote in cover two. Today I'm writing in cover one. Good writers make adjustments.
Get it? Get it, Corey? Because, like, the whole adjustments thing after the Detroit game that Rodgers said.
I didn't get it.
That's awesome.
I didn't get it, nor did I think it was funny. Vic, so many of your answers seem to talk down towards either the person asking the question, fans in general. Why are you so adamant that the fan should never question the organization? Part of being a passionate fan is thinking of ways you believe the team could improve. They may be wrong or they may be right, but please stop insinuating we are too stupid to be allowed opinions. Okay, is his response.
I mean, that's an excellent...
That's my point.
Excellent...
That's actually...
Question slash you know, point from the reader.
And I had to show that because that was retweeted on Twitter a lot.
For those of you on the podcast later, Corey is now showing his meme that he made himself.
And this is, you know what? This is from last year.
I know it is. That's what I said. Remember last
crazy.
Week? You said last week, you were like,
there's
what
one
is
from this
meme?
Year that I
and
had.
I said he did it last year.
Yeah, there's one here from this year that I had and that they showed.
The smoking Aaron Rodgers. You got the smoking Jay Cutler meme. This is the smoking Aaron Rodgers meme.
Yeah, so there you go. That's our Vic Bash segment for now. I'm sure everybody left. Let's see. We have less viewers than we had before, so that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Moving on.
These guys just don't have respect for the authority that is Ask Vic, clearly.
That was the viewer who left. That was their voice. That's how they talk, in case you weren't aware.
Nice.
That's how they speak. Like when they make sound, it comes out of their mouth. That's how it sounds. I'm just going to keep talking. You just looked at me. It was awesome.
Oh, I think you've taken this relax thing too much
Corey.
To your head there,
just
Niggles.
Relax. Everything's good, man. It's great.
I love it.
All right, so we're done with the Vic bashing, right?
Yep, done right. with Vic bashing. So now we're going to... For this week.
Oh, there will be...
There's more to come.
There will be more Vic bashing. Don't you worry. It's time. I think it's that time. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It is that time.
It is that time. You ready?
No.
Okay. You want me to vamp? All right. You gonna hit it?
Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst, the Week 3 edition for the 2014 NFL regular season. Tough to choose much in the best column today, but we'll give it a try. I'm gonna say, Mike, the best thing you did was get off the bus, get on that sideline, hold a clipboard, and call some plays into a headset. That's all I got. You were an NFL head coach this week. Great job, buddy. Don't let anyone take that away from you. On the worst side of the ledger, there's so much to choose from. But let's go with QB1's assertion that where were the adjustments over and over and over again? This offense kept repeatedly slamming its head into a brick wall, expecting different results. Didn't Einstein say something about that? Mike, you continually show up with your shotgun spread down after down. There's a drive in the third quarter where 9 out of 10 plays you run a shotgun spread formation. You're down 5 points. Where's the variability? Where's the personnel adjustments? Nothing. Continually into the cover two with the same nonsense over and over again. And I gotta throw a flag, Mike, on you telling Tom Silverstein that you're not up there at the podium to talk about scheme. Why the hell else are you up there? Listen, the media is there as our representatives. The fans want answers, and I get that you're up there because you're contractually obligated to be so, but the media are there for us. So when you belittle Tom, you belittle all of us. Get it together, Mike.
I mean, that pretty much says it all. And you know what? I got to give a major shout out to Mr. Jason Wilde. He was by far the most in tune reporter at today's press conference when Mike was up there answering questions, et cetera, after practice, dodging, weaving, deflecting, doing what he does. Jason Wilde, and we've given Wilde a lot of grief. Hell, we end this show every week. With the clip of Mike saying, I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason.
It's the biggest, the greatest clip.
It
One
is
of them
the greatest
of all time.
McCarthy clip of
Besides,
all time.
Besides, shh.
Right.
Which is the second greatest.
Which is the second greatest. But, I mean, we give Wilde a lot of grief, but he was so phenomenal today asking McCarthy about, and this is the thing, this is why Jason is very good at what he does. He's in tune with what fans want to know on a football level. Like,
yes.
He's not a hardcore football guy. No one would ever accuse Wilde of that. But his questions today were absolutely what hardcore football people want to know.
Why don't we go to the tape?
Hit it.
Mike, can you explain one thing to me philosophically, though? When you got here, I always thought one of the neat things about your offense was, like, you would go 7 plays in a row, and you might have 7 different personnel groups on the field at that time. Is that the drawback of the no-huddle, that you can't be as creative in terms of personnel groups as you used to be? And is that where you weigh pros and cons?
Well, frankly, in my opinion, utilization of personnel groups is, I wouldn't categorize that as creativity. I would think that'd be, you know, you're all part of the conversation, and really as your roster develops and we all, you know, where we are in our program, particularly with our quarterback, this is clearly the way we're structured is the best utilization of our players.
So, I'm sorry, creativity was
bad. No.
What I'm wondering is, though, that, like, you know, you would go big five, then you'd have two tight ends and two backs, and you'd have three wide. When you do that, does that stress the defense in a different way than being up-tempo, which stresses them, obviously, because you're going to play?
I think both approaches stress the defense.
And did something change for you philosophically that you wanted to do this instead of doing that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, obviously, yes.
Now, I don't know if you could hear everything Jason was saying, but he points to exactly what I was talking about in Mike's Best and Worst in regards to the variations in formations and personnel, which used to be prevalent in Mike McCarthy's offense, which have gone completely on the wayside in favor of basically three wide receivers, single back, set, and shotgun. Over and over and over again. The drive I referenced in the video was in the third quarter, I believe it was their second drive, they're down by 5 points. One touchdown. That's all they need to get ahead. They're not down three scores. They're not. It's not desperation time.
Mm-hmm.
There's one play in that entire drive, and it's after a penalty on third down. It's a first down. It's the horrible counter toss to Harris where Kuhn comes backside and just does a flying Superman into no one, blocks absolutely no one. That's the only play that featured two backs. Everything else in that drive is spread formation, multiple wide receivers, one back. And they have to punt. They don't even do anything with the drive. Like they barely, it drives me insane. And Jason was so good today in asking Mike, look, isn't this a different way to stress a defense? And Mike kind of parries and tries to get out of it. And Jason asked two follow-ups, and it was great because by the end he was saying, you know, but isn't this a way to do it? And is this a change in philosophy? And Mike said yes, and that's an answer,
yeah,
from a press corps / reporter who's actually interested in getting a freaking answer.
Well, when Tom Silverstein asked him on Monday,
absolutely, he was not allowed to talk about scheme.
He had the look as soon as Tom Silverstein started talking about scheme. He's like,
I'm not up here to talk about scheme.
Yeah.
But here's, Jason was phenomenal today. And like I said, I just want to point that out because we give Jason a lot of grief a lot of the time. He was out flipping standing today.
I mean,
get that on record.
I'm going to put a butt in there because
do it.
We still don't have a reporter that we don't have an insider, right? We don't have like our own Glazer or Schefter, right?
Right.
Who finds the hard things. Right. We don't have our own deadspin, and we don't have our own hard-charging person.
What do you mean we don't have our own deadspin? We have Total Packers. I thought that's what they were there for.
Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing. Were you drinking before you got
be
here?
All right. No, but I need another beer because this one's out.
Well, here, take that one.
Oh, nice. Oh, it's still cold.
Well, it was in the refrigerator.
That's good. Well, that's what the refrigerator's there.
We don't have, you know what we don't have, and you see this in New York press conferences, and I've belabored this point. I know a lot of people are going to be annoyed with me.
I love it when you get on this.
Okay.
Can we send this to Pat Mayo?
We don't have, and Pat Mayo would actually be good at this. Mm-hmm. You know, him and Cousineau are buddies.
How great would he be?
But we need that hard charging person to piss off whoever's at the podium.
Yep.
Because that opens up. It's like it's like a 1-2 punch. It's like, oh, I just pissed him off. And then anybody asks questions, it's like they're vulnerable.
Yeah. I'm all in.
You can get on in that. And nobody does that. They're all like too chummy and buddy.
Of course,
and it's not enough.
This is why we will never get credentialed for the Packer games.
But we've been credentialed.
Yeah. By the NFL when they've been in the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. Oh, but that's another story. We are so, I love it. I love tonight. You know why? You know why I love tonight?
I know what you're going to do.
Don't worry about a thing. It's every little thing. Gonna be all right. Relax, Corey. Gibby One told us, man, just relax. All good.
Do you see what's up right now?
Exactly. See? Exactly. Just relax, Packer fans. And you know what?
Relax. We're 1-2. Relax.
We've been 1-2 many times the last couple years. Many times.
Oh, I'm relaxed. I mean, I just think
here's the thing,
offense
people.
Needs to pull something out of their butt.
Here's the thing, people. All right, let's just slide back and listen to the news here for a second. Remember when everyone was ready to run McCarthy and basically everyone else out of town on a rail when the Packers lost back-to-back games to the Dolphins and the Redskins in 2010? Remember that?
No.
Remember when the Packers lost to the Lions when Rodgers went out with a concussion at halftime? And then they lost to the Patriots the next week. And everyone's like, oh, it's all over. What happened at the end of that season?
We lost to the
Packers
49ers.
Won the freaking Super Bowl.
Oh, that year.
So let's just all calm down, all right? There's a lot of season left. A whole lot of season. Am I saying the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl? No. I picked the Packers to lose in the NFC Championship game. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl, but they could.
I hate to tell you, but this team will be lucky to get to the NFC Championship game.
Luck's got nothing to do with it.
And actually, I probably said that in 2010. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with it.
Wild card, everything. Even that year in 2010,
had a lot of luck.
We made history, but we had a lot of luck.
Yeah. But every Super Bowl champion has a lot of luck.
For sure.
That is part of the game. That is, this ain't the 60s when the Packers are just rolling over people. Hell, it ain't even 1996. This is the modern game. You need some luck. And I'm not saying luck's going to get them there, but yeah, luck will play a part. But the team as we see it right now is not going to be anywhere near the team as we see it in November and December.
I love how the first time that Kyle Cousineau is actually watching this show live, and he thinks you're totally hammered right now.
Kyle, please. You've seen me totally hammered. This is not even close, dude.
It's really not.
I mean, right?
It's really not.
Like, not even
like
close,
like, that's
dude.
Just like beer 1.5.
I wish I was totally hammered. Good Lord.
Yeah, you'd definitely be a lot more pleasant to work with, for sure. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
That was good. That literally almost came out my nose. That was good.
That wouldn't have been good.
It wouldn't have been. I'm just like, wait. Okay. So we got about 3 minutes till we got to call
Are
Bowen.
Are we going to do offense?
Yeah. You want to do it?
Yeah.
Do we want to hurry through it?
Yes.
Right now?
Let's do offense, then let's take a break, and then let's do
We'll come back with Matt. Yeah. We'll come back with Matt Bowen.
Yeah, Matt Bowen.
And then we'll do,
Matt Bowen.
So we'll do the offense because you like to push your buttons. All right. Everyone needs to play better. Stop pointing fingers, Packers fans. On the offense, everybody needs to play better. Yes, the offensive line needs to pass protect better. Although, in Detroit, that is one of the better showings from a Packers offensive line in that building in a while. And I admit, after the game, I was like, oh, the offensive line sucked. But then I went back and watched the tape. They actually were not terrible pass protecting. They were god-awful run blocking, especially when it came to getting to the second level, especially in on the interior between Sitton and Lang.
But here's what bothers me. Everybody's like, oh, cover two. And they're like, oh, you need to run.
Right.
Well, isn't the Lions defensive line like one of the best?
Yes.
So isn't it going to be hard to run on?
Yes.
So don't you think that your secondary game plan would be to send your receivers out and get guys in the middle and on crossing routes?
Hence QB1's point after the game about adjustments, which I found very interesting with his weekly radio show with Wildy, where Wildy asked him about that, and he said, well, I was just referencing that we didn't run the ball. Okay, I'm calling bullshit. Okay, we want to talk about Bill Simmons being suspended by ESPN for calling Roger Goodell a liar. Cheesehead TV is going to have to suspend me for calling QB1 a liar because bullshit, that's what you meant. Bull.
Well, speaking of that, I thought it was very interesting, and I actually posted about this on Cheesehead TV. I believe that's my first post since 2010, where I posted that.
Oh, and what happened in 2010?
We won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
So I'm posting, and I'm like, it was very circumspect when Wildy asked him, did you change the line? Did you change the play at the line?
Thank you.
And he didn't say
yes
or no.
He didn't deny it. That was, by the way, that was my Ask Aaron question, but he didn't ask it as an Ask Aaron question. He asked it as a...
Of course.
Did you ask it?
Wildy asks all the questions he wants to ask, and then he'll ask like three Ask Aaron questions.
I know, and then the Ask Aaron questions are like, what's your favorite color?
But And people were like, oh, he answered the question. It's like, no, go back to the tape.
No,
he didn't answer the question.
Exactly.
Because he knew that if he changed it at the line, people would be a little bit like, dude,
ape.
What were you thinking?
Well, here's the thing. Here's my hunch. This is just a hunch. I haven't talked to anybody about this. But my hunch is that it was a run call initially. Aaron went up, saw the front, and decided which way to go. Like, I don't think it was a complete, like, it was a pass and he changed it to a run. I think it was, get up there, we have a run call, see which side we want to go.
I mean, the reality is, I'm sorry, but the competition committee needs to look at that play, because if that is not what you mean about football, if a guy intercepts the ball on the one, we should not have to take it on the one, like in that specific play. It should be a touchback.
You mean because he rolls into the end zone?
Yeah. I don't really think he completed it on the one, actually, when you really look at the...
I hear what you're saying. Because he's not down there, because no one touches him. So why is it... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
why
and
is
how
it down
often
at the
are
one?
You going to actually do it? It just doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, but that's, I think, what McCarthy was arguing while he was trying... When he should have been picking out a play, but...
All right, we got to...
No, we have one more.
I go, okay, fine, but we got to call Matt Bowen. I don't want to keep Matt Bowen waiting. Have you met Matt Bowen? He'll knock your head off, dude.
Can you remember one thing?
Yep.
Matt Bowen played for the Bears. Okay.
No, he played for the Packers, dude.
Dude.
He played for the Redskins.
And where? And who does he write for?
He covers the Bears.
There you go. We can keep him waiting a little
bit. All
right,
one more.
Buddy.
Expect to see a whole lot more of Andrew Quarles going forward. I think they really wanted Richard Rodgers to be the guy. Richard Rodgers ain't ready to be the guy. I think we're going to see a whole lot more of Quarles going forward. All right, and with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Mr. Matt Bowen live from wherever the hell he lives, North Chicago, I believe. And we're going to talk some Packer Bears. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back here live at Packer Transplants on Cheesehead TV, and we are joined by none other than Mr. Matthew Bowen, former Packer, covers the Bears. That's why we're talking to him this week. Matt, how the hell are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Aaron. Appreciate you having me on. Great week. Bears-Packer week is one of my favorite. I don't care if it's beginning of the season, end of the season. It's one of my favorite games of the year. I love playing it when I was in Green Bay. I have great memories from my 2 years as a Packer and playing in those games. Great stories. Maybe we'll get to one of my stories from one of those games. But and a great matchup, really, because I don't think either team is playing their best football. I think everyone would admit that. Obviously, we know what's going on in Green Bay. We know about the offensive struggles. You know, the Bears aren't lighting it up either. I mean, if you really look at the tape from Monday night against the Jets.
What I want to know is, early on against the Jets, it looked like those receivers were going to kind of have their way.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rex kind of, it was funny because Rex was playing a lot of zone to, you know, protect his kind of motley crew in the secondary. And then he switched to much more man, started blitzing, and that really took the Bears out of what they were trying to do downfield. Obviously, the Marshall injury didn't help. Do you think Dom looks at that and starts, you know, heck, let's go after him? I mean, you saw a little bit more aggressiveness up front from the Packers against Detroit, who also, you know, obviously like to spread it out a little bit there at home. Do you think Dom plays coverage, or do you think he comes after Jay?
I would come after Jay. I would always come after Jay.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing. I think Jay's done a very good job this season of managing the pocket. What I mean by that, being able to slide, being able to step up. His first touchdown pass to Martellus Bennett, that was all him. I mean, that was just a route conversion when Bennett sat down in the end zone. That was sliding versus pressure, stepping up and delivering the ball. But I'll say this. I think Rex changed his game plan once Brandon got hurt. Once he saw he was lumbering out there, he said, look, they got one target. Jay's not going to throw to San Antonio Holmes. I think we could cover the tight end in the middle field. And like you said, Aaron, it was all zero pressure then.
Oh, that
it was send seven.
Crazy.
The DBs just played off at 8 yards, flat foot read. When I say flat foot read, you don't backpedal, you don't move. You just say, look, you want to throw a slant route, we'll drive downhill on it. You don't have time to get down the field on it, so there's no need for us to backpedal. But, you know, here's the thing. I think Jay always struggles against Dom Capers. He always has. Okay, and we talk about this Packers-Bears matchup. Dom usually has a pretty good game plan for Chicago. And that's why I mentioned Matt Forte at the top of the show here, because they're averaging 64 rushing yards a game. And I understand Mark Trestman, pass first. That's what they are. Okay, everyone has to understand that. Their West Coast offense are going to throw the ball on first down. That's what they want to do. But you still have to supplement that passing game with some of the run game. You always have to do that. If you get in the third and seven plus versus Dom Capers, then, Aaron, I think you're going to see a lot of pressure. We know what happens. As talented as Jay is, you go back to week one against Buffalo, he still has that tendency to make a decision where you say, don't throw that ball, and all of a sudden it comes out of his hands.
The no, yeah. The moment with Jay, absolutely. It comes seemingly every time they play, you know, every time he faces Dom Capers.
Right.
It's funny. You mentioned Forte, and I totally agree. I think he's got to be a key for Chicago this week. It's interesting to me how, I mean, Trestman didn't really hide the fact that he had no interest in trying to run against that Jets front. Obviously, different story playing against the Packers, not exactly as stout up front, although they did play better against the run in Detroit. Do you think this is a game where they kind of try and feed Forte?
I don't think they try to feed him. I think they try to establish some sense of a run game. You know, and here's what the Bears do. Their best running play right now is a crack toss. Okay. And you know what the crack toss is? They run it with Eddie Lacy. And they ran it all the time in the beginning of 2013. You know, right. A little quick pitch, block down, pull the tackle. Right. But it's got to be more. I think with Matt Forte, it's got to be a zone running game. The Bears are not a power football team. They're just not. They're not the San Francisco 49ers. They're not the Seattle Seahawks. You know, they're not going to line up and run power O on you all day. What they're going to do is use zone or stretch schemes. That's when the offensive line takes a zone step. Doesn't matter what front you're in. They're going to step, block an area, and that allows Matt Forte to either press the edge of the formation or look for a cutback lane. So, yes, I do think you need to establish some sense of a running game, especially at home at Soldier Field. There's Aaron Rodgers at home at Soldier Field.
When you look at this game, kind of as, you know, totally or whatever you want to call it, do you think the way I look at it is it's going to be a shootout? Because let's face it, that secondary outside of Fuller for Chicago is hurting and problematic. Right. And I know obviously the Packers and Rodgers had their problems, taking advantage of a depleted secondary in Detroit, but Detroit has an incredible front and they played coverage all day long, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think Rodgers is going to have the game we saw back in 2012 when everyone was questioning him and then he threw for six touchdowns against Houston. I'm not saying he's going to throw for six touchdowns against the Bears, but I think he is going to go off.
Well, here's the thing, and it's a question I have. You bring up a great point about Detroit playing coverage because they played a lot of two-man, you know, two deep men under. The Bears don't play that. They play cover two, which is a zone defense. And if you give up the middle of the field to Aaron Rodgers, that's trouble, okay? And John Bostic, the middle linebacker, Aaron, he's playing much better football, okay? He had 14 tackles the other night. Had an opportunity to close out the game, drop pick. Okay, he's going to think about that all season long. I understand that. But he's playing much better football. I think this Bears defense is faster. Jared Allen hasn't recorded a sack yet. We're 3 weeks into the season. Lamar Houston's playing okay football. I think Willie Young's their best free agent pickup. I really do. He's playing great on the edge. But at safety. Okay, Ryan Mundy's now banged up. Yes. Chris Conte's banged up. The other night, they're playing Ahmad Dixon, who they got off the practice squad 2 weeks ago in a crucial moment of the game. So the Bears want to play coverage, which I know they do. You know, no one wants to blitz Aaron Rodgers. But if you want to play coverage, you better protect the middle of the field. And that's where I want to see from Mike McCarthy is use some different formations. Put Jordy Nelson at number three, okay, inside. Just get him down the inside seam. Get Randall Cobb going down the middle of the field. The Bears don't have someone that can match up with Randall Cobb. Not inside, they don't. Because here's the thing, Aaron. You mentioned the injuries. With Charles Tillman out, no one's really talking about it, you know, because Kyle Fuller is making a lot of plays. And I'll say it's about Kyle Fuller. I haven't seen a rookie defensive back with this type of instincts and ball skills since I played with Sean Taylor in 04. Okay? He's always around the football.
That's some high praise right there.
But I really believe that, Aaron. But here's the problem. Here's the trade-off. You don't have a nickel right now. You have Isaiah Frye, who they brought off the practice squad, who played nickel last year but lost his job in camp. So you're taking a practice squad player and you're starting him at nickel. Okay, anyone knows the Bears defense, and that's the same defense that Lovie runs. If you play cover two, that nickel is a key spot. The nickel and the will and cover two are the most important players. Forget about the Mike. The Mike, he's going to run the middle of the field. You need that nickel and the will to sink. Those are the guys who cushion the deep dig routes. Those are the guys who cushion the seam routes. Isaiah Frye gave up a touchdown the other night versus Geno Smith. It was a nice ball from Geno, split the safeties in cover two. That was on the nickel. They had a nickel carry the seam. So something to watch in that matchup is Mike McCarthy, where he puts his top guys. Okay, and that's been I know, Aaron, that's been a narrative all week that Mike McCarthy is stale. He's lacks creativity. It's 2x2, 3x1, no pre-snap movement.
It's been a narrative. Okay, now this is something I would love to hear your take on this because obviously you played and you write about scheme all the time. McCarthy refusing to talk scheme in his press conference. But we went back and forth about this on Twitter a couple days ago. I think it was yesterday. I mean, you agree. I mean, when you say narrative, it's almost dismissive, like, oh, the narrative. But it's kind of, you agree with this, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
I agree. It's gotten saying, stale.
Everyone's catching on to it. Everyone's talking about it. That's what I mean by narrative. I don't mean it's a cheap narrative, a made-up narrative. Not a hot take or anything here.
I'm saying no hot takes on Cheesehead TV, damn it.
This is real life stuff. Yeah, sure it is. Because when you watch the film, Aaron, it's stagnant. Okay, what I mean by stagnant is take a look at Green Bay's film, and let's just focus on Randall Cobb for a minute. Mm-hmm. Take a look at Green Bay's film compared to Seattle's film with Percy Harp. Okay, and I'm not saying they're the same athlete, okay, but they have a similar skill set. Okay, right. And I'm talking about a matchup player, an inside the numbers player that should. If you're a defensive back sleeping in the hotel Saturday night, you should be a little worried. Okay? That's how it should be. You should be a little worried. You're staying up. You've been in bed. Your curfew's at 11. You look at the clock. All of a sudden it's 1:30, and you're still thinking about Randall Cobb. You're saying, how am I going to stop this guy, right? But to do that, you got to create those matchups. That's what Seattle does with Harper. That's why they're always moving them. That's why they're using boot and hiding them behind the line of scrimmage. That's why they're using bunch and stack alignments to get them a free release. That means no one can touch them off the line of scrimmage. All right. If the Bears want to play cover two, that's fine. Put Randall Cobb at number three and get him. If they want to play cover one, put him on Isaiah Fry. That's a matchup. If the Bears want to play cover three, then use motion. Get him open in the flat. Get him open in the curl. Whatever it takes, you move him around. And that, for one, makes defenses panic. Anytime someone moves on offense, you have a specific adjustment. But if you see something new, you see Randall Cobb shift to the backfield like we see with Percy Harvin, I guarantee they're going to panic. They're going to panic for a minute and say, what do we do? We haven't seen this before. And that's what you want to do if you're Mike McCarthy. Present something new in the game plan install this week that the Bears have not seen. What they're looking at on the Detroit tape is 2x2, 3x1. The X receiver aligns here. The H and the Z, they align here. I know they're running vertical routes. I know they're running all curls. I know they're running three-level routes. I know exactly what Mike McCarthy wants to do. All of a sudden, it's the second series of the game, and something else isn't out there. As a defensive player, you tell yourself, okay, I haven't seen this. I'll just play my keys. All right, that's what you do as a defensive player. I've never seen this before. I read my run pass keys and play football. But if it continues, then you come to the sideline, you say, hey, we haven't seen this before. What are we going to do to stop them? Because they're beating us up in the middle of the field. So that's what I want to see from Mike McCarthy. Some a little creativity that puts some stress on the Bears secondary.
All right, let's stop talking about how pathetic the Packers offense is because it's just depressing the hell out of me. I want you to tell me about the Packers back in the day going into New England, picking up people off the street, and beating Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean, dude, you got some stories. You got some stories, son. Let us have it.
Well, let me start with this one, okay? We're playing... And realize I'm 25 years old at this time. So we're playing the Bears Monday night in Champaign. And that's when they were redoing Soldier Field in 2002, right? Yeah, 2002, my second year in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting, and obviously I'm excited. You know, everyone I know is coming to the game. My parents are coming. My future father-in-law who played at the University of Illinois. My future wife. I mean, everyone's going to be there. And so I'm excited. The night before the game, and now, granted, we're in Champaign. This isn't the Ritz in Manhattan. Okay, so we're staying at some holodome on some country road. Okay, and I'm drinking coffee. I'm drinking Gatorade. I remember Mike McKenzie looking at me saying, "Mike, you got to stop drinking coffee. You're never going to sleep." But I continue to drink coffee through Bob Slowick's meeting, and
I'm dying.
I'm rooming with Aaron Campman. Okay. You know, Camp and I go way back, played together at Iowa. And I wake up at 4 a.m, I completely wet my bed, okay? Because I've been drinking water, Gatorade, and coffee all night. So I said, well, what am I going to do, you know? So the bright guy that I am, I take a towel, and I throw it on. I'm just wearing a towel. I wrap up my sheets and everything like a hobo pack and throw it over my shoulder. I walk downstairs. I said, well, let's go to the laundry and get new stuff. Well, again, this isn't a hotel in downtown Chicago, you know, St. Louis, wherever you play, Tampa, Miami. It's a Holodome on some country road in Champaign, Illinois. There is no laundry. It's closed for the night. So I said, oh, okay, well, I'll just throw it out. So I go outside the back of the parking lot in a towel and throw it in the dumpster. The door closes behind me. It's locked. Okay, so now I got to walk around the front of the hotel. Okay, and I'm covered in my own pee, wearing a towel, and walk into the front door of the hotel, and there's this little old lady working at the desk, and she says, can I help you? And I said, yes, I'm Matt Bowen. I play for the Packers. She says, I don't believe you. So now, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, what do I do? Like, I'm not going to call Coach Sherman. I'm not going to call Coach Slowick. I'm not going to call Ed Donatel and say, Ed, I wet my bed. I need you to get me back in my room. So I get a hold of one of the security guys. I just track him down. You know, we have team security. They're walking around all night. And he tells the little old lady that I do play for the Packers. And on the way up, I was like, I'm not going to say his name. I'm like, please don't tell anyone. I mean, the last thing I wanted was like someone like Favre or Frankie Winters to find out. Oh, Marco Rivera. They would never let me hear the end of it, right?
And there's no Twitter at the time.
No Twitter.
Thank God.
It was 2002. It was barely cell phone pictures. So I get back in my room and take a shower, and I got no sheets, no pillow. I flipped the mattress over, you know, hotel mattress in Holiday Inn and Holiday in Champaign. Flipped the mattress over and fall asleep. And I wake up the next morning, Campman's like, what happened? Where are your sheets? You know, like, I don't know, man. He's like, well, what do you mean you don't know? Someone come in to steal your sheets? So, you know, I was like, look, man, I spilled coffee on him. I threw him out. The laundry was closed. He's like, oh, okay. It took me 10 years to tell Aaron that story. And I finally told Aaron that story. He's like, well, why did you just tell me? I was like, look, man, I was embarrassed. And, you know, I actually played okay that night. I actually did play okay.
Because that's what matters, dude.
Yeah.
It's how you played.
Yeah, and I didn't sleep at all, but I played okay. I had a pass breakup down the field. I had a PI on Anthony Thomas in the red zone. I panicked a little bit there. But I remember that game. You know,
Was that the game where Favre hit Driver for like the huge touchdown?
Oh, yeah. It was right at the beginning of the game.
Right. That's what I thought.
Game was over. Game was over after that. We pounded the Bears. I think the score, I had the game board here. The score was 32-22. But
What's crazy about that is I watched that game in Corey Banky's living room up in Inwood. And when Favre hit Driver for that play, I literally jumped on Corey's sofa. And I think I destroyed it. But that was a great game. That was a great game in Packer lore.
And I knew we had a good team afterwards.
Yeah.
Because Coach Sherman, I mean, guys just treated it as another win. Coach Sherman was big on history, okay? He's big on history of the Green Bay Packers. He always talked about that. He always called us. He always reminded us that we played for the Green Bay Packers. And I remember him in the locker room afterwards saying, you just beat the Chicago Bears in Monday Night Football. Why aren't you guys excited? And I knew then we had a good football team. Obviously, we all know how the season played out in Week 17 and the wild card, but that was the best football team I've ever played on at any level. Just because of how it was constructed, how it was put together, that should have been a Super Bowl champion football team. There's no question about it. And whenever I think about football, I think about three games. Okay, it was a game in high school losing the playoffs. Brady in Michigan and Iowa. Brady beating on a slant route to Ty Street. It still bothers me. And that game against Michael Vick and the Falcons at home in the playoffs at Lambeau when it was snowing. Because everything went wrong. I mean, and I think that's football. That's why the NFL is so great, because there's no series like baseball. We can have an off night, or the NBA or the NHL. You play poorly in one quarter in January, you're going home. I mean, this is how it is.
Or if you don't challenge a punt return / recovery like Mike Sherman didn't that night. Don't get me started, yeah. Bowen.
Or don't get a punt blocked in the end zone either.
Set detected. Take precautions.
Anyway, Matt, you are an absolute legend. I can't thank you enough for coming on, sharing your knowledge, not only of the Bears, the Packers, the NFL, but sharing your stories. That's an amazing story. Dude, you are the absolute man. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I haven't told many people I wet my bed that night, but, you know, now that it's out there, you know, that, and I drank, like I told you before, I am strictly 30 packs now when it comes to beer. Dude,
show people the beverage.
Yeah, I drink 30 packs out of Steins now. I'm drinking Old Style Light tonight because my old man told me it was on sale at Jewel, so I had to go get it.
Matt is not only drinking Old Style, he's drinking Old Style Light tonight.
Yeah, I like light beer. You know, I'm not a heavy beer drinker. You know, in college, I would be honest, I was Natty Light or Natty Ice. I mean, that's all I was, Natty Light.
You
Natty
need to
Ice.
Go out. Wait, you're in North Chicago, right? You're like, what, Northwestern area, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I used to be. No, we moved now. We're about 12 miles outside of the city. We can't stop having kids, so we're outside of the city.
That's a good point. All right. Well, you need to get up north. You need to go to Wisconsin and get yourself some Wisco Disco.
Tell me about this stuff.
This is only
in Green Bay and Sheboygan.
Phenomenal beer. Yeah. I cannot recommend it enough.
It's good stuff.
Check it out.
Get up there
and get it. All right,
yes,
Matt.
Yes, I will do that.
Thanks
all right,
so
guys.
Much,
you,
buddy.
You, stay out of trouble. Thanks for having me on.
Good luck with that. All right. Thanks,
all right,
man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Aaron. Thank you.
Matt Bowen, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, Washington Redskins, and other places, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. He is the absolute man. I can't recommend his stuff enough. Follow him on Twitter, at MattBowen41. Check out his stuff for the Tribune. He is awesome. The guy's, you know, forgotten more football than we'll ever know. As you can clearly see from that conversation, we apologize for the Skype stuff. It's the nature of Skype. What are you going to do? Corey, Matt Bowen, dropping some knowledge.
Yeah, that was really amazing. I kind of feel bad for talking shit about him earlier, but there you go. Hopefully,
he does cover the Bears, so let's just relax.
He does cover the Bears. That does bother me. Like, Jen Latta covers the Bears.
I know. How depressing is it when she tweets about the Bears?
It's hard.
It's really hard.
It hurts me.
And I want to unfollow her.
But I want to unfollow her so badly.
But I like her as a person, so
I can't
like
unfollow Jen Latta,
right? Latta, I think it's Latta.
Anyway, Latta,
I think so. But anyway, it doesn't matter because she tweets about the freaking Bears.
Does it really? Yeah, I was about to say she covers.
It
the
doesn't
Bears,
really
bro.
Matter. It's all good. It's that time.
So yeah, let's get back
new,
to the show.
New brand spanking new segment this week. Brand spanking new. Corey, we ready? Hit it.
Welcome to the Rookie Report. That's right, it's our new segment here at Cheesehead TV where we grade the performance of the rookies week in and week out, then we let you have at it in the comments section. First up, we have Corey Linsley, the center. He gets a solid B from me this week, and I know a lot's being made of how Sue and Fairley kind of threw him around on a couple of plays, and they did. The worst play was probably where Fairley shoots a gap, almost takes the ball away from Rodgers on a bootleg. But if you go back and you watch the tape, overall, Linsley has a strong performance, especially considering the environment and the talent that he was across from. A B goes to Linsley in week one. Haha, Clinton Dix ends the drought at safety, stretching back to 2012. No interceptions from the position until Sunday. Haha did a great job from a single high look, getting over, being in position to catch the ricochet. Great job there. Overall, though, still some questions in run support. Coming up, needs to wrap up better, needs to fit better. Overall, a C-plus performance from the rookie safety. Devontae Adams, you got to give this kid a D-plus. A week after his best performance, you get his worst. Whether it's bad routes or bad recognition in what looked like a package play in the red zone, Adams was a non-factor for most of the afternoon. Many were ready to anoint him as the new number three, but with performances like his one in Detroit, you can expect him to be splitting time with Boykin for a long time. Finally, we've got Richard Rodgers in what can only be described as a pathetic performance. Encapsulated by his horrible block coming out of the end zone, which resulted in a safety, this kid gets an F for his performance against the Lions. He was benched after that play, and for good reason. Don't be surprised if you see a whole lot less of him going forward.
Oh, is that what that camera's on?
Apparently so.
I just realized that that was Matt Bowen, and then I was like, oh, that's a nice shot of Ted, looking at us.
So there's the rookie report. Brand new segment. It's going to be on the site every week. Check it out.
We're going to try to do it on Tuesdays.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel,
yes,
people.
Please, please.
Make sure you don't miss
more
any of our videos
like that.
It's going to be awesome.
We're video crazy around
Speaking
here.
Of videos, I think it's time for a little something-something there, Mr. Banky. That venerable series, it's This Week in the Packers Blogosphere. This week, we need, not want, we need to highlight Jersey Al's post. Mike McCarthy, his own polluted mindset. Throw it up, Banky. Show it. Give it to me. Jersey Al, here's why Jersey Al is so good at what he does and why you Packers fans need to be reading everything he does. Do it. Find his site. Look at his stuff. This is literally the day after the game. I think it was moments after the game. Very soon after the game. This guy had it broken down.
The show has jumped the shark.
Totally, yes. This guy had it broken down completely. I mean, he encapsulated. I was like, this is the truth. I was working on a post because I was so pissed about the freaking offense and about Mike McCarthy and about everything. And then Zach Cruz, our own writer here at Cheesehead TV, tweeted out, highly recommend this post from Jersey Al. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll check it out. Because, you know, when I'm writing, the only thing I want in life is something to procrastinate with. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go read what Al's written here. And Al had nailed it. I mean, absolutely watched the game, went over to his computer, wrote exactly what was freaking wrong with the Packers offense. That's a person you want to find, ladies and gentlemen, and read everything they write. Jersey Al is one of those guys.
Also, his family makes some crazy good chili.
If you're ever in the New York area, the New Jersey area.
That's my favorite thing to do, is to go to Packer games and meet up with Al and his family.
And have some of that fantastic chili.
We have the family plus the families. It's like the meeting of the minds. It's good because his family is as he's a diehard Packer fan.
Yes,
but his family is all diehard Giants fans. They got like the trailer. They got like the spot.
Oh, it's
literally like all my great uncles at Lambeau.
Right.
But it's for Giants. Yeah. It's really awesome.
So highly recommend it. Even if you read it, go back and read it again. If you haven't read it, it's not stale whatsoever. Go back and check it out. Check out Al's site. It's phenomenal. It takes a special kind of blogger, I guess that's what we'll call Al, in the parlance of the times, to be able to encapsulate everything that's wrong with an offense 24 hours after the fact, and Al absolutely did it. He nailed it. Highest praise.
Woo!
There we go. That's the show, Corey Banky. How about that action?
Okay, I like it.
Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing's gonna be all right. All right, should we end it?
Yes, I had to do that one more time, I posted it.
Just relax. It's all good. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, Matt Bowen, the absolute freaking man, for coming on. And thanks to everyone on the live blog for joining in, tweeting us.
It's really a live chat.
Chatting us.
Oh, I do want to say one thing
from Mr. Banky before
okay,
we go.
We do have a winner of the...
We have a winner!
Of the...
The cups.
The cups that you see in front of me.
Oh, Corey's got to find it and read it.
Woo! Don't worry!
Brian. Brian won. Wait, let me find his name.
Brian Caravu?
No, not Brian Caravu.
gonna be all right.
Damn it, I can't find it.
Anyway, Brian won.
There's like three Brians going, is it me?
No, it's in the chat. I can't find it right now. So let's end the show. let's just end it because it can't get any better. So just end it.
I love it. Oh, thank you all for joining us. You're the reason we do this. We love Packer fans. We love the Packers. This is awesome. They're 1-2. It doesn't matter. Just relax. It's going to be awesome. We'll catch you next week on Packer Transplants.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?